Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to Comic Conversations, episode 241, where we talk all things comics for the week of August 7th, 2019. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
Not as good as you. You've joined the master race.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's hurry up and finish this podcast, because I got a PC that I very much would want to play right now.
Tony ordered the PC I designed for him. So he's got a very expensive PC. He's never had a PC before, not a good one at least.
Yeah, no, I've had PC. No, actually, you know what? For like 1994, I had a really good computer.
Jesus Christ.
And then since then, I've had Macs, which are terrible at just about everything. Actually, you know what? They're pretty good at costing a lot of money.
They are. To get a Mac to do what your current computer does, you couldn't because the parts don't exist for a Mac because they're so underpowered.
My favorite is Leo Laporte. He was ripping on Macs. He's like, yeah, they call it a MacBook Pro, but if you're a professional at anything, you don't own a Mac. You still there? I knew something was up. Uh-oh. It's because he's going off his phone, everybody. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Alex... Remember it was a week or so ago, or 2 weeks ago, Alex lost his internet connection because Jack decided to download a game illegally, not through a torrent, and not using his VPN for cover, so his internet company cut him off. But luckily, it was under his name, so he was able to have Lauren sign up with the account, and at least for like a week or so, he's been using Lauren's name, but I guess they must have figured it out. And as soon as they figured it out, they cut him off. So for this week's show, Alex is using his phone for a connection. And I think his thing just died out. Let's see if he messaged me. Doop, doop, doop. Great radio. And Alex is back, everybody.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened. So, you remember how I said I don't have internet right now, so I'm using my phone as a hotspot?
Yeah, explain to everybody what's going on.
Yeah, so when I said my phone was dying.
I'm
going to use the computer to call you. I didn't consider, if my phone dies, the hotspot will turn off.
You moron.
So I ran to my room and grabbed the charger.
And
plugged it in.
Because I was like, it's got to be more than just your phone's poor connection, because you would have messaged me by now.
No, because the phone's connection works freaking great. Like, I was playing World of Warcraft and stuff. Everything is fine.
Cool.
But, yeah, that's what happened. So, it's plugged in now, though, so we're good.
Okay. So, with all that snafu out of the way, and just letting you know before we get to the end of the show, we're not doing a show next week because Alex is going camping. So, what we're going to do in 2 weeks is we're going to do another giant size annual.
Which, by the way, is going to be kind of tough because I was looking at the books this week and there's quite a few.
But you don't know what the week after is going to look like.
It could be light.
And what we always could do is we could just read what we want to read.
We could do that.
Like, let's be honest. There's a couple of books that if we had to, we drop at the first sign of a drop of a hat.
There was even some new stuff I wanted to read. Did you know there's a Black Hammer Justice League crossover?
Yes. Now, don't you feel stupid for not reading that book now?
I kind of want to read the first issue.
Good. Let's read it then.
But the second issue.
I love Black Hammer so much.
Yeah, apparently they like switch places and the Justice League is stuck on the farm.
Oh, nice. Actually, yeah. That wouldn't be so bad for Superman.
Yeah, he'd probably like it, actually.
Yeah. Although none of the Justice League members are gay, so I don't know.
Does that matter? Are you sure they're not? There's no gay Justice League members?
Well, of the big seven or eight or however many they have on the current team.
Are any of them Jews? I don't think so. I don't think any of them are religious.
Superman is, but in like in a generic kind of way.
I don't think he's ever talked about his Christian upbringing.
Yeah, but you presume it comes with he's a package deal with, you know, truth, justice, the American way, and the American way is going to church.
they tend to not say the American way anymore. They did in the Superman comic we read this week, but in general, they don't say that anymore.
Mm.
It's just truth justice.
Well, remember he recently, but that was New 52 Superman. He denounced his U.S. Citizenship?
No, that was before New 52.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, that was the Straczynski run.
Oh.
That everybody hated. Like, even the people you'd expect to like it hated it, because they're like, well, it's Superman, though.
Well, this is the guy that...
That was the run where Superman was just being a dick.
I know it's not his fault, but one more day.
It kind of... Well, he wrote it.
Yeah, but he was... It's like a directive.
God, you weren't around for Rising Stars. That fucking abortion.
I've heard good things from other people, so it's hard to say. And we don't always agree, especially when everyone listens to this show. You'll find out that we don't always agree on what's a bad book and what's a good book.
Well, that stuff I just mentioned, it was all terrible.
Mm.
Some of it started good.
Okay. All right, with that out of the way, let's go into our first segment this week. News.
Ruins under fire, a wilderness of storm, with dreams and desires, I have come alone, seeking the answers, only you could know.
Okay, technically not video game music.
That what is this?
This is from the soundtrack for Mother 1.
I really need to get you the gay truck from work so you can ride around in it after picking that. I'm listening to this like, oh my God.
Fuck off, I like it.
Can we just play Ease music?
No. In fact, I've got an answer to that, but when we go into this week's books, I'll respond to what my answer is. If you continue picking Ease music.
You're going to keep picking horrible music?
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, there's going to be some Ease music next time we do a show. It's going to be amazing.
All right. Alex, what do we have for news this week?
I don't know. You picked the stories
I picked the story. Yeah, you gave me a bunch of stories, and I'm the only one that remembered them. So, yeah, I'm picking the stories, I guess.
Yeah. Tell me what's first.
First one, I guess, it's sort of they tie into each other. But the first one was apparently they told David Walker when he was working on his Dark Hawk. What was it? It's not Dark
Nighthawk.
Hawk. Nighthawk. His Nighthawk run, that's before the first issue even came on stands, that they were canceling the book.
Oh, yeah. It was before they'd even put orders out. So the reason I wanted to talk about this was, if people will remember, we were covering both this and Spencer's Captain America run.
Well, his Falcon run.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Falcon as Captain America, and it was terrible. Like, he was trying to do the...
Stories, but Spencer's, because he was doing the Falcon Captain America story, he had to do it where it was a little more over the top with police robots.
Well, he couldn't go as far with the racism angle.
Yeah.
As Nighthawk could. And also Falcon is a different character from Nighthawk. So they were telling sort of the same story, but Nighthawk was like 10 times more effective. Because it didn't hide behind anything. It wasn't, you know, dicking around where Nighthawk is a fucking werewolf for 10 issues. Like, it didn't fuck around with any of that stuff. So it was a much more real version of the same story. And the book got shit canned, like, almost immediately. But we now found out they canceled it before it even came out. Which, and I remember reading it, and I'm like, this is kind of good. I wonder why Marvel's not even advertising it. And we had guessed, we're like, well, they want to bury the Squadron Supreme. Like, they don't actually want them to get over. And we were apparently right. Now, the funny thing to mention is, when Nighthawk lost, or when its first issue came out with no advertisement, it was in the top 50 on sales.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Squirrel Girl, as I pointed out to you, and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur rarely entered the top 100.
But I will defend it by saying we don't know what the digital numbers are.
Now, a side note on that was we had another story where Jim Lee was talking about we don't really sell comics digitally. Like, we don't make any money on this. People aren't ordering in high enough numbers, and it hasn't grown at all. So, now, that's DC, who are often the top seller of comics.
No.
So,
they have the top selling books, but they don't outsell Marvel when it comes to
total number of issues. But that's because Marvel publishes five times as many books.
That's kind of sad when you think about it. It's like Marvel produces a lot more, but most of their books aren't good enough to sell in high numbers.
Yeah, so they release all these books, and they don't sell in high numbers, but since they're releasing more books, they sell more total books, which is one way to do it, except I don't know how profitable that is, because it costs money to produce and print a fucking comic book. Now, if DC isn't making money digitally, I think it's safe to assume Marvel isn't, because we know now it's not like there's two markets. There's one market, and it's comic fans.
Hmm.
And there's about maybe a million. There's a million, maybe a million and a half people who buy comics.
It's really kind of, well, at least, you know, in North America, or at least America. Most of these numbers are, in fact, from America. So we don't know, like, in the UK, what kind of those sells. And maybe Canada. I mean,
there's there's not that many people who live in the UK.
Okay, but then in Canada included as well, it's probably at least more than a million.
Okay, let's say it's 5 million people.
Okay.
There are 5 million people in the world who read comics. Fair enough. But they're not buying digitally, which means for those books I'm talking about at Marvel that don't sell, those aren't selling. They're being published for a reason. Now, apparently, just the existence of a friendly young black girl that deals with no issues whatsoever. We can publish that, but the story about a superhero who's effectively a really pissed off black guy who's murdering cops, we can't do that.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I don't think it was canceled because of his subject material. I think it was canceled because everyone realized it's Nighthawk. He's not that big a deal. And
so
you know,
why did they publish the book, though? Because remember, the point of the story is they canceled it before it was even released.
I think they were at least up for 5 or 6 issues so they can at least make a trade.
Why didn't they announce it as a mini-series?
Well, that's why I say more comic book companies need to be doing that. They need to make minis, and if it sells well enough, then they'll make it a trade.
Marvel has a history of this shit. I mean, go read Christopher Priest issues about his Panther run,
mm-hmm.
and what they did to that, and telling him he's not black enough and stuff. Like, there's something going on there. I'm not saying Marvel is inherently racist, but there's some weird shit going on there. Like, and the choices they've made, like, oh, well, we're gonna do an America Chavez comic. And by the way, she didn't get saved. Her book didn't sell, and they didn't keep publishing it.
Good.
So,
America Chavez, who is in fact a homosexual or bisexual.
And brown.
Well, you know what? They really don't drill the Latina part. We read that book, and they really didn't drive that part home. Which,
did they not? Isn't she half black, too?
Probably.
Yeah, she's not. She's not 100% any.
But I feel like they didn't drive that. There was that one scene where she's kissing her girlfriend with the gay pride flag flying in the background. It's like, oh, wow, subtlety.
And I think they were in a room. Like, they were inside.
Yes.
So it didn't make any sense.
Subtlety.
Yeah, but that didn't really get over. Because, again, you cannot sell a book on the basis that a character is gay. That will not sell a book. It has to be good.
And the funny thing is, I know it was more than just me and you who liked that book. Because a friend of mine recently interviewed David Walker. And in the comment section, you're like, oh, you should have talked to him about his Nighthawk run.
Yeah, and he said, he's like, this wasn't the most successful book I ever did. He's like, but by far, I get more comments on those six issues than anything else I've written in comics.
And he's written Luke Cage. He's written Luke Cage.
Yeah, and he said, he's like, right after they canceled it, they're like, hey, you want to write a Luke Cage comic? And he's like, okay, I guess since I'm not working. And he's just like, all right. I guess he figured it was the fix was in. Like, hey, we're canceling your book about a black guy, so here's another book about a black guy. And he's like, okay, that's what I'll do.
Like, it might sell a little better because he has a Netflix series, but we'll probably cancel after 12 issues.
Well, that was the other thing Christopher Priest said. He said he'd write anything if it wasn't a black character. Because he's just like, I just want to write. So, like, he once said, he's like, I'll write a fucking vibe comic. Like, I don't care. Like, just anything. Just, I
remember you told me he went to retirement and then DC approached him to write Deathstroke. And he immediately jumped at the opportunity because he's like,
because he's white. He's like, they're actually having me write a book with a character who isn't a black guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I thought they were going to call me about Black Lightning. Hang on one second. What?
Remember the Black Lightning thing with the previous writer who got upset when they put him on that team with Batman? Because they felt like, you're sort of making Black Lightning a lesser character because you're pairing him up with Batman.
Yes, because if you put Black Lightning as the lead character, his book wouldn't sell. Welcome to comics. I'm sorry, nobody cares. And it's not because he's black. It's because he's a minor character, and their books don't sell. And also, no offense, you're not that big of a name, so you can't sell it on your name. And that's what does it. If you take a name writer and you put him on a minor character, the book will sell better. If you put a no-name writer on a minor character, the book will never sell. They did a Captain Atom comic. He's the whitest superhero on Earth. I mean, I know he's made of energy, but still, he's, you know, American, he's military, he's fucking white. Nobody bought that book. We read it. Mm-hmm. It was good, but nobody bought it. How many fucking Hawkman relaunches have they done? Nobody ever buys them. It's how important the character is, and comic book companies' inability.
Well, if you put a name writer too, we've seen before, you can get tiny obscure characters, you know, like Mr. Miracle, and if you put like a name like Tom King on it,
it'll get talked. But I mean, that was also because it was a really good series and it was different. It had a gimmick. Like, you can't. I think if somebody, if you took like, let's say, Bendis, and you had him write Mr. Miracle, and he does a Bendis Mr. Miracle story, it's going to get two issues, and then sales are going to drop off a fucking cliff because it's the shits.
I saw 2 weeks ago that he was on, Jimmy Kimmel, and it's like, wow.
King?
No, Bendis.
Yeah, he has comic writers on because King's been on like three times. I don't know why.
That's cool.
Because it doesn't increase the sales, but...
No, but it does make it... Well, Bendis aside, it does make you feel like you're sort of invested in something that at least they're presenting as mainstream.
God, but then could you imagine, like, somebody watches Bendis on Jimmy Kimmel, and they're like, oh, I'd like to try one of his comics.
Oh, and the best part, you know what he was plugging of all the books that he does? You know what book he was plugging?
Superman?
No.
I have no idea.
Naomi.
Which is not the super popular character DC intended.
The tie-in was, you created Miles Morales, and he was a fantastic character that everyone loves. So if you write another black character, surely this one will also make a movie franchise. And it's like, I don't know about that. Sassy black girl making faces at the camera, and that's about it. I don't know if that's a movie there. Alex, you still there? Or are you distracted? Or did your phone die again? It's funny because I'm not getting the busy signal thing from you. Doop, doop, doop. Oh, at least I got a message from you. I'm talking and I can hear you. Yeah, but I can't hear you. That's a problem. Especially when I'm recording. Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I know you can hear me. Unless you plan on doing the podcast where I just read off whatever you write me. Let's see if I can try to fix this, mitigate this problem. All my stuff seems to be working just fine. Maybe I lean on the mute button. I don't know. No, because it's recording everything. This is always... No, it wasn't. Last time your phone literally died. You cannot blame this on me. He said it's usually on my end, everybody. Actually, maybe this is how we should do the podcast. That way I can just talk over you and my opinion prevails. Okay, so Green Lantern sucked and Superman Up and Away sucked. And everything else was great.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I turned the headset off and turned it back on.
Oh, but it's on my end.
Well, it's always on your end.
Uh-huh, except...
Okay, stop, Jack.
Sorry. See, even Jack knows you're full of it.
I just said stop because he kept talking.
Oh. Well, what does Jack have to say about Naomi?
She's never going to read it.
All right, I think that's going to do it for this week's news, right?
Yeah, I got a little ranted.
Okay.
That was good. All right,
with out of the way, let's move on to our next segment and another song I'm sure Alex probably isn't going to like. But this week's books, as soon as YouTube loads. And I decided to go back from the beginning as opposed to the marker that I wanted. Oh, well. There, there's my retaliation. If you're going to pick more E songs, I'm going to pick more songs from Metal Gear Rising.
Okay.
I like
my thing of picking E songs and then indie rock. I like that more.
Okay.
But that's because I don't like video game music that has lyrics.
I'm sure there's some video game songs with lyrics that you like.
Oh, like I Am the Wind?
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't like that. That's cheesy. I like
theme
song from Sonic CD.
Ooh, actually, I should pick that sometime.
No, I don't like that.
Ooh, but I like it.
He can't jump. He's a super set. Oh, I played it once. It was, what was it? I think it was the theme song from Lunar.
Which one?
The really cheesy, like, 1980s montage song.
But no, I'm saying the Sega CD one or the PlayStation
one? Sega CD one, because the PlayStation one did not have lyrics, because they knew
it was... It had, the opening had a pretty good song. I liked it.
Did it? Okay, well, I like the original one, because it's so cheesy.
Okay, well, this... I hate to break
it. I don't actually like it, but I find it to be funny.
It's so bad you like it.
Yes, like, what a thrill, darkness and eating frogs. That song, that's my favorite video game song with lyrics.
See? And you've picked it before in the past, too.
Oh, you snake eater.
Best part is, sometimes you feed on a tree frog. I want to talk to some survivalists if they've ever been in the jungle.
And eating a tree frog. That would be dangerous because tree frogs are often poisonous.
Exactly. Well, imagine if you don't eat the skin and just eat the meat.
It's Kenyan mangrove crab.
Giant enemy crab, huh?
Giant enemy crab.
It's got claws that rip through a tank.
Stab it with your knife, and then you'll get a food ration. Are you insane? Its claws could rip a tank apart. Okay, gotta remember what I learned about CQC. Counterbalance the knife, quick slash, retract.
Crab battle.
Crab battle. Snake, stop saying that. Crab battle.
All right, let's go into this week's books, which include Absolute Carnage 1, Savage Avengers 3, House of X 2, Dead Logan 10, Daredevil 9, Death Defying Devil 1, Superman Up in the Sky 2, Lois Lane 2, Green Lantern 10, and opening up this week's books from DC Comics, we have Batman 76.
Wow, you're going that way, are you?
Alphabetically, yes. like I do every week.
This is a continuation of City of Bane.
I would say if this was, this is an epic book, but at the same time, it's a book that comes out bi-weekly. So while it is a really big epic story, because it's bi-weekly, the story doesn't move that fast.
I did like that the main character of this book was Kite Man.
Mm-hmm.
Who has really low self-esteem because he's Kite Man.
He could remedy that.
Great. Well, so what happened to this book is they're following Batman and Gotham. Like, it opens up with Gotham Girl, and she beats the shit out of Captain Atom. Just absolutely demolishes
him. Well, because they're answering my question I think I had from, like, maybe 2 weeks ago is, wait, what's the Justice League doing while all this is going down?
So, apparently, the government, because Gotham City is now under control, they don't care that it's led by a psychopathic supervillain.
They're like,
because everything is calm.
Yeah, exactly.
So he said, no heroes in my city, and they said, okay. So the government forbade anyone from going into the city. Now, Captain Atom explained, you know, I know when to follow orders and when to not follow orders. So I'm coming to the city. I'm going to take care of this shit. And Gotham Girl just fucking demolishes him, beats the shit out of him.
Now, I will give this for King. For a while, I was thinking, it's like, well, she's just Gotham Girl. What can she do? But then I remember Gotham was able to beat the entire Justice League by himself.
But then he died, which they brought up later in the book. So it was actually one of my, I had quite a few scenes I liked in this book because it's King and he does character stuff good. They had Robin and Damian interacting, Tim and Damian.
Mm.
And, you know, Damian is Damian. So he's like, well, we just need to go into the city. You're standing around doing nothing like a pussy, is basically what he tells him. And Tim's playing intelligent older brother, and Damian is playing Damian, who's like the young shit stirrer.
Mm-hmm.
And he points out, he's like, she took on Captain Atom. Captain Atom's strong enough to fight Superman. We wouldn't be able to do anything. And he goes, no, but if the entire Justice League goes in, like when they thought Gotham, she'll eventually, and Robin's like, yeah, she'll eventually die. And Damian's like, yeah, because he doesn't give a shit. Well, Robin doesn't, you know, he's trained by Batman. He doesn't want to kill people, so we can't do that. And then eventually, you know, Damian calms down and agrees with him. The other big story in this was Batman is, Thomas Wayne is going after the villains who haven't submitted to Bane.
Bane yet, yes.
To get the Psycho Pirate mind control. And it was Kite Man, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, and Scarecrow.
And bunch of winners there.
Scarecrow, yeah, as they're escaping, Scarecrow immediately turns on Tweedledee or Tweedledum. And then they end up in Kite Man's lair. The kite cave, which this is the best part, because he's like there. He's like, yeah, it's pretty bad because I built it myself. He's like, we can't fight him. He's Batman. I'm Kite Man. But then Kite Man decides, he's like, you know what? Maybe I could find the real Batman, though, and maybe I could be him back. Maybe I can be a hero. And then Batman jumps through the fucking window. And, you know, immediately just beats the shit out of him and then goes after Scarecrow. And Scarecrow's not going to try fighting him. So they lost. And the other cutaway was Batman is still all fucked up with Catwoman. And she's stealing expensive paintings and selling them to pay for Bruce's medical care.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruce is apparently comatose.
So he's not really in a position to tell her no. And she's commenting on to Bruce's body. He's like, yeah, I know you don't like it, but we need the money.
And she's like, if you wake up, I'll never do it again. Like, she's very, very concerned because this is kind of fucked. And Batman's the only one who could fix it.
And it's kind of her fault, too.
Sort of. She put him on the path to this happening.
Yes.
Although King still hasn't explained how he beat the shit out of his dad and left him in a pit. And yet now he is the one who is in a coma and his dad is Gotham's Batman.
Yeah, well, Bane has access to more resources at this point.
His dad also won't kill him.
Yes, that's a problem as well.
So, I'm not sure what they're going to... I mean, Bane could kill him.
Well, yeah, and we
break his back again, make him humble.
Well, the thing is, we've seen before what happens when they go toe-to-toe.
Well, not every time. I mean, the first time they fought, he...
Well, you never read
that story. What actually happened in that story?
No, I'm talking about
Batman.
Thomas. I'm talking about Thomas here.
Oh, Thomas. Oh, yeah. Batman wins.
No.
Yeah, he does. He beat him last time.
No, remember they fought a bunch of times, and they were going straight up, and then finally, when Bane decided, "Hey, I could just cheat," and then that's when he finally broke Thomas, or he got the better of him.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying when Batman and... No, I'm talking about Bruce.
I was talking about Thomas.
Okay, well, when Bruce fought Thomas, he won.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Bruce fought Bane the last eight times he won, he's only lost to Bane once.
Well, to be fair, you could argue that was all part of his master plan.
Well, no, I'm just saying, in the original Bane storyline, when he was introduced and he broke Batman's back and they... had Azrael beating the new Batman, and it was a thing, and then, you know, we had to bring Batman back.
Is King going to say every single plot that he's hatched has been leading to this?
No, I don't think so.
You might as well, since apparently King's entire run was setting this up.
His first plot, the first Bane storyline, was actually really clever, because what he did was he let out all the villains out of Arkham, and Batman had to stop all of them. And only after he stopped all of them and was completely exhausted did Bane fight him. So Bane's not dumb. Like, you think he would be. I mean, he's obviously not in this storyline because look what he pulled off. But in general, you think, like, oh, he's like a big strong guy, so he's stupid. But he's not. He's really freaking smart.
Mm.
And in this case, though, the only issue is he thinks he's removed Batman from the board. And everything's going swimmingly.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet if he had the chance, he wouldn't kill Batman. He'd probably have Psycho Pirate do the mind stuff on him. Would be my guess.
That's what he should have done.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But it's a comic book, and we don't want Bane to win.
No.
Okay, that was Batman 76, writer Tom King, art by Tony S. Daniels. Let's move on to our next DC book, Green Lantern number 10, writer Grant Morrison, art by Liam Sharp.
Green Lantern has teamed up with fighting the antimatter villain that they are fighting in the last issue. He has teamed up with Green Lanterns from across the multiverse. Including the Abin Sur that he fought in the last issue that set all this up.
Mm-hmm.
A hippie Green Lantern from, like, Earth 15, who's my favorite. A Batman Green Lantern. A female Green Lantern who carries an actual lantern. A guy named Flashlight who has a magical flashlight that has seven different settings that he can use.
A book by Grant Morrison.
Yes, it's Grant Morrison. And Grant Morrison did bring up the 52, although he did sort of throw it away in this, where he said he had them look at the multiverse, and he goes, these are the 52 alternate realities that are closest to our own. So what he is basically saying is, we got this whole 52 realities thing, but really there's more. These are just the only ones they're going to deal with. And he even brought back the thing from Multiversity where they're like, well, what about those ones that have a weird color around them? He's like, those are the ones we can't get to. They're like shielded. And they think they need to go to one of those. But we don't know what those worlds are. These are the worlds where one of them we had assumed was like the Marvel universe.
That
so
would be cool.
I don't think we're going to be going to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't think Marvel would like that the Marvel's 616 is a part of the DC multiverse.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they would like that. But yeah, it's them messing around and doing wacky stuff and fighting. And I put it on Facebook. My favorite thing was when Batman Green Lantern tells hippie Green Lantern, who I think is called Guru Lantern. He's like, I don't like weed. Just out of nowhere, he's like, I hope it doesn't keep you from holding your concentration long enough from doing something useful. And it didn't. He made love chains.
Aww.
To hold the villain. So it was all right. It's a cute, fun story. I don't know if... And they have to go find Star Sapphire.
Sweet Sapphire.
Lantern villain and... Yes, Sweet Sapphire. Carol... Carol Ferris.
Yes.
Who is one of the women Hal used to bum.
Nice.
Yeah, but she's a villain, you see.
Because that's what Green Lantern...
That's what heroes do. Batman does it.
Well, I'm saying that's
Batman
what...
Batman impregnated Talia.
I'm saying that's what happens when Jordan puts his D in a girl.
She turns evil?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It's dangerous.
I know. As a superhero, you would think he would learn not to do it, but he's also a man, so he can't help himself. That explains why he doesn't have that many supervillains that are women. Oh!
Well, he had the leader of the Blackhearts.
Oh, okay. That's not bad.
She wasn't like a sexy woman, though.
Oh. Well, it's Hal. What do you expect?
There's a hot girl in this issue.
Yeah, but it's Hal.
Forgot her name. Girls like Hal.
Maybe, you know, it's maybe if it was Guy, I could understand, but...
It's not like he's Barry Allen, some nerd in a lab.
Yeah. All right, let's talk Lois Lane, number 2, writer Greg Rucka, art by Mike Perkins.
I like this book, but you know what the one thing I don't like about it is?
I can't imagine anyone not liking part of it. Is it the art?
No. The art fits the story.
Yeah,
so
I'm trying to figure out what would you not like about this. My only thing that I don't like about this book is I always think it's written by Bendis, and then I start reading it. Wait, I'm like, wait, this isn't written by Bendis.
This is good.
Because I'm like, wait, Lois Lane's not being snarky.
This is
going to
sound really weird because Rucka's a writer, but this looks like a Greg Rucka book,
mm-hmm.
which. It's kind of weird. It just looks like it is.
I have a small complaint. We don't read the other Superman titles, by which I mean Action Comics and Superman. They're written by Bendis. I was not aware that Lois and Superman were broken up.
They're not.
So it's a ploy?
No, it's not a ploy. So what happened was Lois Lane, you know, she broke the big story and outed the White House.
Hmm.
So they're now coming after her, and they're like posting pictures on, and they had like fake TMZ, and there's like pictures of her kissing Superman,
mm-hmm.
and questioning if she's separated from Clark Kent, and it's, you know, they're going after her, they're trying to ruin her marriage. So. But I mean, they were later on in the issue, like her and Clark were out in public and they were like making out. So it's they're not actually separated. That has nothing to do with the other story. That's just the story they said. No, the one thing I don't like about the book is Renee Montoya is the question.
Oh, yeah.
Because we know she's not the. And I don't mind Renee Montoya as a character. I just don't like her as the question, especially since the question is in the DC universe.
And he's in way bigger books.
Yeah, like he's in the Event Leviathan thing.
Which is unfortunately written by Bendis.
Which is, but I don't hate it, so I'm okay with. And I actually like how he's handled the question in it, so I'm okay. Which Bendis is the last guy who should be writing the question, by the way, but it's still.
He's doing some justice by the character. It's not like it's Renee Montoya and it's completely written differently than the way the question should be. It's no, he's writing. Male question the way he's supposed to be written.
Yeah, and Rucka is writing Renee Montoya as Renee Montoya, but sometimes she wears the mask.
Mm.
And that's really it. And she went to, you know, inspect on the journalist who committed suicide, but told Lois, like, she's like, suicide is complete bullshit. There's fucking blood everywhere. And this is crap, and you have to be careful. And she's like calling into Perry White. And he's like, you know, you better be careful with this shit. I'm still going to publish it. By the way, you can't spell. They keep making fun of her for not being able to spell.
Well, okay, so Perry brings up the fact that, you know, you're really bad at spelling, but when it comes to names, you get them right every single time. Because that is kind of a big deal. Because the thing is, if you have an editor, they can fix your spelling errors. But if you get the name wrong, that can lead to all kinds of trouble. So that I kind of consider justify away.
You do it. My kid he made himself a piece of toast, and then he goes, put peanut butter on it. And I'm like, no, you put peanut butter on it yourself. I have a 5-year-old, I'm cooking steaks later, come on.
Nice. Are you lifting weights too?
Yeah, I'm probably going to do that. I'm going to do some 75-pound curls.
But you can't just eat steaks, dude. You need some carbs.
I will. I'm going to make some kind of potato.
Good.
Got to get the carbs.
So you can walk up to Laura and be like, pretty lady.
She wouldn't understand it. What's the next book?
Superman Up in the Sky, number 2 of 6, writer Tom King, art by Sandra Hope.
So this was
this book was
issue.
All over the place. I think that was my problem.
I didn't think it was. It was there were two stories in this. The first one was about in the last issue, Superman found a guy who had information on the missing girl. Mm-hmm. But the guy told him, "Okay, but I'm only going to tell you if you beat me in a boxing match."
And the thing is they couldn't use superpowers, but they were allowed to use their super strength.
Which meant he couldn't fly, he couldn't do the cold breath, he couldn't use his laser eyes.
But the thing is, if you're in a boxing match,
and he couldn't use. The thing is, I guess he couldn't use super speed, but doesn't make any sense.
But how would you know he's using super speed? That's what I'm saying.
I know exactly, because at one point the guy said, "I'm faster than you," and I'm like, Superman has super speed. So they had a Rocky fight. I mean, that's what it was. It went like 14 rounds. Mm-hmm. They basically had a Rocky fight where, you know, in the last 3 rounds, they're still punching with full power and stuff. But the guy, he was trying to psych Superman out. But Superman, like, he kept telling him, like, just take a dive. It's fine. And Superman ain't going to give up. So he finally realized Superman wasn't going to give up. They were both really fucked up. But he's like, okay, I'll tell you what you want to know. But Superman's madly fucked up. So they, like, throw him out in space. Well, he gets rescued by these aliens. And one of the aliens – this is actually really sad. One of the aliens is a healer alien. But to heal, has to give up a part of his life force.
Aww.
I will point out my problem with this story when I finish. So – He's given Superman all he's got, but the thing is, Superman's so powerful, you assume it takes more to bring him back to life. So the guy who's healing him goes and talks, because they tell him, like, you got to stop or you're going to die. So he goes and talks to his wife, but he explains to his wife, listen, when I'm using my gimmick on him, I can see his memories. And this guy has saved literally billions and billions of lives. He has saved the entire universe at times. I have to save this guy. And she's like, well, no, what about your kids? Blah, 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 blah. Well, he decides, like, well, fuck you, wife. This guy's more important than me. So he sacrifices his life to save Superman. And it's very sad. You know, Superman gives them the guy's final words or whatever, and gives, like, the kid a hug, and then he's going to go off on the adventure. My problem with this was they are directly outside a gigantic yellow sun.
They don't know.
Now, I know they don't know, but had they, for a moment, just put him by the window, Superman would have been fine.
Yeah, but they didn't know.
He would have been absolutely fine, but instead this father had to sacrifice himself to save Superman's life when all they really had to do was throw him out the goddamn ship. At one point, they were talking about letting him die and throwing him out the ship. If they would have done that, he would have been fine. So that was twice as sad.
Yeah, but they didn't know.
I know, they didn't know, but still. Like, come on. But the thing is, he should have known, because he was a healer, and he said, when I touch you, I got all your memories, so he should have known how his powers work.
I never thought to make the connection, because they... didn't do a great job, because I'm like, he's boxing, and then he goes into space, and then all of a sudden it seems like the story is going in a completely different direction.
Well, they indicated that he flew away to go follow up on the lead, but he was so fucked up from the boxing fight, he, like, lost consciousness.
Okay, and all that, I got confused. I'm like, wait, what's going... Because, like, the boxing thing was really interesting, and the story after that was interesting as well. It wasn't made super clear that they were transitioning.
Okay, yeah, it was meant to be linear, so... Okay. But, you know, he's better at the end, so he's going to continue on his journey to go save the little girl who was kidnapped in some kind of ridiculously complex child kidnapping plot from another planet. This is really weird. Keep in mind, he's doing all this to save one little girl, which he's Superman, so that makes sense.
He would, but, yeah, he would turn up the entire universe to save one little girl.
Yeah, but, I mean, he can't... King is very invested in putting Superman over really strong, and I always like – Morrison used to do this a lot, and I always like when they do this because I think it's easy in comics to forget in the DC universe how important Superman is supposed to be.
Yes.
And I don't think they do it enough. It's like he's Superman, yes, but he's also like the greatest superhero who's ever lived. He is better than every other superhero. He's superhero Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you really should be putting him over this strong because he's that much better than everyone else. Like, Batman's always going on about how he's the best of us and everything. And hang on.
That's just as fine. I think part of the reason why he's also doing this, I'm just talking because I don't want dead air. Part of the reason why I think he's doing this is because he wants a job when Batman is over. Because the thing is,
he wants to write Superman.
Well, because the thing is, he wants like a steady paycheck, and I'm sure if he goes like after Batman ends, he's gonna do that Batman Catwoman book, and yeah, it's gonna sell decently because King's a name. But at the same time, it's still not that those Batman checks.
I bet it's gonna sell really well.
It'll sell well at first, and then eventually it's gonna taper off and probably get canceled.
You know, Heroes in Crisis would have been more fondly looked upon if it was 4 issues.
And didn't have Wally killing people.
Well, it didn't matter in the end.
People were more upset of what happened with Wally than the story.
He didn't actively kill anyone.
Yeah, but the thing is, people were upset that it made it seem like Wally was a murderer.
Yeah, but then they fixed it in the end. He was just traumatized.
Yeah, that was his out. But still, when people think Heroes in Crisis, people don't talk about the way, you know, 12 issues and a lot of stuff was just dicking around. People were more forgiving of that than the Wally stuff. And it didn't help that they gave that there's a Wally solo series coming out of that as well.
Yes. Okay. I agree.
That's going to do it for the DC portion of the show. And we're going to do a little thing that we don't usually do. We're going to read a book from another publisher besides the big two. Dynamite Comics with Death Defying Devil number 1, writer Gail Simone, art by Walter Giovanni.
I thought this is an interesting way to – I know he's not a new hero, but for modern day comics, he's a new hero.
Well, he's new to me.
I thought it's an interesting way to launch your new hero when he gets the shit kicked out of him in the very first issue. Like, he tries to – okay, so the gimmick is – there's a evil land developer in whatever city this is in. And you got these people, this diverse group of people living in a house. And it's, you know, old house, but it's divided up into apartments. But it's in this shitty neighborhood. And they've all been asked to move out by evil guy. And he's in all honesty, he's probably like some kind of crime lord or something. So I shouldn't say evil land developer, but that's, you know, whatever. But yeah, so he sends his group of hatchet wielding, which I found very odd. They all have hand axes to scare people off and rape all the women. They really want to rape people. They never say that, but that's what, because like it opens up and there's a guy and a girl and they're, you know, they're dating or whatever, and they're walking down the street. This guy comes up to him. He's like, "Hey, can I get $100? My mom's sick." And he's like, oh, we don't have any money. We live right here. Like, if we had money, we wouldn't live here. And then another guy comes out of the shadows. He's like, oh, you're not going to help him with his mom? And then, like, eight more guys come out. And they're like, all right, here's the deal. We'll let you go, but we're going to take your girl. And he's like, no. And then they pull the hatchets out. And then the devil appears, which I guess is his name. And he's going to fight him. And he starts out pretty good. He pulls out like a little metal boomerang thing, and he throws it, and he fucking chops the guy's ear off. And another guy, he chops some of his fingers off with it. So he's fairly effective. He's beating the shit out of these guys, but there's like eight of them. So one of them gets him with the axe, and then they start putting the boots to him. And, you know, Mr. Donovan's going to hear about this whole thing. But they feel bad, so they grab him and they pull him into the house, and he meets the wacky characters in the house. Old lady who thinks she was a movie actress back in the day. Maybe she was. The crippled veteran.
Oh, he's my favorite. Two.
Well, because he was the one who was, like, taking care of him, and he's, like, talking to him like he's a soldier with PTSD. But it's like, no, he's a freaking guy in a superhero costume which has got the shit kicked out of him. It's not the same. But, you know, whatever. So he's talking to him or whatever, and they're going through the whole deal, and then the guys come back. Well, he's all fucked up, but he's still going to fight him anyway, and this time he wins. And the issue kind of ends with that, and the plot of the book is apparently going to be this superhero protecting this house and these people in it from the evil guys who want to kick him out. I strongly get the feeling this is a limited series and not a continuing series.
1 of 4.
Yeah, okay, it's 1 of 4. Okay, that makes sense, because I'm like, this is not a long-term story.
No, it is not.
At all. It's got a story to tell, and it's written by Gail Simone, so the dialogue is very punchy. It's funny, and hang on one sec.
No, I just like the dialogue from the World War II, the vet, because he's talking about, you know, World War II and this dude who took all this punishment, and you could tell the devil just does not care. He's there lying on the couch recovering, and I just found it cute and funny that he's just going on and on, prattling on and on, and the devil could just care less.
He thinks that's, well, because he's like half passed out.
Yeah, but the idea, he's completely oblivious to it, and it's like, okay, I get it.
Well, I assumed he had some kind of insight, because he said he works with vets a lot. Mm. So maybe with them, when they're all messed up, you got to talk to them. I don't know.
Or maybe he's just
oblivious.
I don't
do that.
Could be just oblivious. He's a goofball.
Yeah, he could be. Well, they're all fairly goofy, except for the one older black dude who pointed out to him. He's like, yeah, I'm the normal one. It's like, okay, so we know it's – although the couple seem fairly normal too. So no issue with that. I'll continue reading this because I like Gail Simone. I actually kind of like the character design. He has Batman who lulls eye mask as a belt,
which normally is go away heat.
Yeah, but I mean it's.
But because he wears it as a belt and not over
and
his
I
face.
Like, yeah, it's a belt. It's not covering his eyes. And I like his costume's very simple. It's half blue, half red.
Okay. I thought this was, while cute, it really had nothing going for it, but it's written by Gail Simone, so it's probably going to get good later.
Well, he's a character from the 1930s.
Yeah. I know they think it's like, oh, it's a character with some cachet, but I didn't know. And I imagine maybe half the people that bought this book didn't know.
Jack just questioned why Batman is a superhero.
His parents
died. Said, because he is a superhero, you can't do what he does.
Yeah. Also, his parents are dead.
And his parents are dead. Well, I don't want to tell him that.
Yeah, I know.
So he might kill me.
So he could be a superhero?
Jack, you wouldn't kill me to become a superhero, would you? Thank you. He said no.
You could still be alive and he can still be a superhero. There are superheroes with parents that are still alive.
Just wondering.
In fact, it transitions to our next book from Marvel Comics. Absolute Carnage, number 1-4, writer Donny Gates, art by Ryan Stegman.
Whose parents are alive? Oh, Eddie is.
Idiot.
So, I really like the art in this book, by the way.
It is a Venom/Carnage book, so I guess the art is fine. But then you have Spider-Man in this. And it's like,
yeah, and he looks like Spider-Man.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a really dark story, and you have Spider-Man, and he kind of feels out of place. Like, I know why he's there, because Venom's got to team up with someone, and it's got to be someone who knows Carnage and the symbiotes, but...
Well, if you didn't pay, if you haven't looked at next week's solicitations, we're not going to read them, but there's about 8 million Absolute Carnage spinoffs.
Gee. The thing is,
like, Absolute Carnage, the Avengers, there's no Absolute Carnage Conan yet.
While this is good and all, I don't see why they felt the need to make this a giant book.
They wanted another event, and they thought, well, we'll do Carnage. And they're tying in Null, because they just brought him back. Mm. Carnage is... the original Carnage is... Okay, so the plot of the book is, Carnage is murdering everyone who ever had the Carnage symbiote on them. And he's ripping out their spinal cords because apparently the Carnage symbiote leaves a piece of itself in everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of these pieces he absorbs, he gets stronger, and he's eventually going to get strong enough to free Null from the symbiote planet. And he's decided that's what he wants to do. I don't know why, because Carnage really likes murdering people, and if Null comes back, he would presumably kill everything. Mm-hmm. And then Carnage would have nothing to kill. But he's a supervillain. He's not very, you know,
he's not a long-term planner. He's just, he wants something, and he's not thinking past that.
Yeah. So, Eddie Brock has a kid, apparently. But he hasn't told the kid that he's his dad. He has him thinking he's his older brother.
Which is I don't understand, because he's like,
is terrible.
He's like, well, everything I touch turns to crap. So,
he's like, everyone who's connected to me, it goes to crap. And it's like, okay, fair enough, but if he's your little brother,
it doesn't help.
He is still connected to you.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so his reasoning isn't very good there, but Eddie Brock isn't the smartest guy on earth.
Although I think, the thing is, we haven't read every single Venom book, sometimes for reasons, because it's bad. But apparently, part of the reason why he broke up with the symbiote for a while was apparently he had a son, that the symbiote was not letting him aware that he had a son. It kept secrets from, which I thought was a cool idea, but that's also probably someone else's idea.
The symbiote in this, by the way, is much less like the old Venom symbiote and much more like the Venom movie symbiote.
Well, because I noticed the way the artist also drew Venom. He wasn't the traditional Venom with the mouth just hanging out past his chest with the tongue coming out.
No, he closes the mouth sometimes. Yeah. Which he used to do. He didn't always have an open mouth.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking the first appearance of Venom is where he's got, you know, the big grin, but he doesn't have the big tongue.
Yeah, well, either way. So, he meets up with Spider-Man because he needs Spider-Man's help, because he can't do this alone. And Spider-Man's like, well, the first thing we need to do is we need to get these symbiote pieces before he does, and we're not going to kill people to do it. He's like, so I can go to Reed Richards, but it'll take him a couple months to build it. And Venom's like, oh, don't worry, I got someone who can help us. So he goes to the Maker, Evil Reed, who Peter has no idea who this is.
Exactly.
But he's just like, you're probably about as smart as Reed Richards, right? And he kind of, because he told him, like, I'm a Reed Richards from another dimension. And he asks him that, and he kind of pauses, and he's like, yeah, I'm probably about as smart as him. He can tell he's just thinking, I'm going to fucking kill this motherfucker. Venom talked to him earlier, so he's already built a machine. And he's like, okay, well, let's, he wanted to dump the kid in it.
Cause the like, kid apparently like, had wore the, well, the it was Norman Osborn's, nephew, right? Grandson? It was his grandson.
Yes.
And he's like, okay, when Norman had the current symbiote, he also put it on his grandson. He's like, well, we got to get the thing out of him before Carnage can kill him. But the thing is, you're evil Reed Richards, so I'm not sure I trust you to make this thing properly.
Yeah, he doesn't really trust his device, so we have to get somebody else. And then they decide they're going to go get Norman, who is locked in the basement of a super max security prison.
Well, because A, he's Norman Osborn, he's crazy, and he's, you know, a psychopath, he's going to kill you. But then also, apparently what they establish in this book, from wearing the Carnage symbiote, he thinks he's Claes Kassus.
Yeah, because he got Cassidy's, like, memories and basically his personality implanted on him when he was the Red Goblin. So, yeah, he thinks he's Carnage, but they're going to go get him. Well, they go to get him, and then Carnage attacks by releasing little bits of himself into all the other prisoners. So he has an army of Carnages.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to Norman first. So Norman is now back, apparently, working for Carnage with his Carnage powers, which is bad. And that's how the issue ended. Now, this isn't – I don't believe this is following up with Absolute Carnage Volume 2. It's following up with 950 spinoff books. Where apparently everyone's going to be Carnage. I don't know how they're going to do that, actually. But my guess is they're all going to be Carnage. And the only thing that works on Carnage, by the way, fire does not work. Sound does not work.
Well, not anymore.
No, electricity works, though. So they're going to have to do a multiverse crossover and get Black Lightning. And that,
but then the writer will get upset because the story doesn't revolve around Black Lightning.
Yeah, he's just someone they got to save. Well, he might like it because they had to get him to save the day. Like, without him, they're boned,
I guess.
So, I mean, in that way, he's a really big deal.
Also, a thing we need to address, this thing was like 60 pages. If I hadn't read this book way in advance, I'd been like, Alex, we can't read this book. It's 60 pages.
I thought it read pretty fast, though.
It did. I thought it was just me trying to read in a hurry, but I was able to read it pretty quick and absorb most of the information.
It's a lot of it's like a lot of action and a lot of quick cuts, and the dialogue's pretty snappy, so it moves well. I didn't have an issue with that.
Well, the thing is, this book kind of addressed was, we had Evil Reed in this book, so, and I can't help but notice how much he looks like, New Xavier. So this did kind of pop a hole through my theory that it might be Maker.
Yeah, I was looking at him, and until I noticed the helmet was different and he was wearing the costume, I'm like, is this Xavier? But I don't think we're gonna get Xavier in any Marvel books.
No, probably
like,
not.
I think Hickman's doing his own thing for now, at least.
Yeah, and he's got enough sway at Marvel to basically say, I'm doing stuff with Xavier, nobody else can use Xavier.
Yet. Well, actually, the way Hickman's writing the book, Xavier's going to be the big-time villain in their next crossover. He's clearly evil.
Or Bendis is going to come back and kill him so Hickman can't use him again.
Do you think maybe he's ignoring Bendis' entire run, and that's why Xavier's alive?
No, because someone else, after I want to say Infinity War, but after Secret Wars, brought back Xavier. Now, this is when we weren't reading X-Men.
Oh, so he did come back to life.
He did come back to life. Now, I don't know if he died, because the thing is, the last X-Men run that we did read,
He wasn't in it.
And they didn't address whether or not he was alive or not.
Fake Xavier.
Yeah, so I'm hoping they explain to us what's been going on with Xavier since then.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right, since we talked about one book with a reading it, let's talk Daredevil number 9, Chip Zdarsky, art by Latif Kumar Sharma.
I'm sorry, I'm cooking. Can you tell me what this is again?
Daredevil number 9. I know before we went on the air to do the podcast, we both had a lot to say about Daredevil.
Yeah, so this book opens up with Matt in the park playing chess with Reed Richards. And he asks Reed if God is real,
mm-hmm.
because he's a Catholic. So he's constantly having these questioning his faith because, you know, Catholic. Also, he's a terrible Christian. We'll talk about that later. So, you know, Reed gives him the speech. Like, Reed basically says, I'm agnostic because I don't know. Like, I've seen a lot of stuff. I haven't seen anything that disproves it. But I've never seen it, and I am a scientist, so I'm not prepared to say there is or isn't. And then he talks to him about it, and he's like, you know, are you? He goes, I don't, however, believe that there was some guy who went around and decided, you know, made like a list of rules for people to live behind. So I wish I could remember what he actually said to him. I'm actually, give me 1 second here.
I remember exactly what he said. He's like, well, I'm a man of science, so I don't believe in God, but after all the things I've seen before, I'm not above, you know, willing to admit that I could be wrong about stuff. Because technically half the stuff I've seen doesn't apply to any science, but somehow it exists. Well, so the idea of there being a God
That's not what I was getting at. He said, Daredevil said, we're supposed to question God because we're supposed to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God's not about logic. Or he says any kind of logic we can understand, which that actually is a common belief. He's like, but that's why it's faith. And Reed goes, well, is your faith in the interpreted word of God, or is it in what God has taught you and the moral center you think he's given you? So he's basically – he's shitting on Catholicism in all honesty, but that's another thing. So the bookstore girl – who Matt wants to bang, who's the wife of somebody in a crime family, comes to see Matt, and she's talking to him and crying her heart out and stuff. And then Matt goes to church to talk to his mom, and he's still talking about his whole crisis of faith and stuff. And then a couple nuns are crying about some kid who disappears. So he's going to go and, like, find the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, puts on a mask. He doesn't put on the Daredevil mask, but he does put a mask on. And then beats a bunch of guys up, finds a kid, and sends him to him. And then, like a good Catholic, he goes to see the married woman and bangs her in the bookstore. This is actually a small thing. But if we're pushing the he is a religious guy angle.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even as upset with the
promiscuity.
You know, he's banging a chick he's not married to, because that's whatever, that's what it is. But I also know how Catholics feel about marriage. So if you're having a conflict of faith, you're seriously going to go and actively seek out a married woman and bang her?
And here's a problem with that. Now, maybe this is just a problem with the author. But I'm thinking this entire –
she looks dumpy.
Yeah, I'm saying this entire run, Daredevil's been going after this woman, which they must have switched the artist, because I remember her being in the first couple of issues, like, at least somewhat attractive.
It's the same artist. She's drawn differently on – it's weird. Like, it's like a sketchy sort of art thing. So she comes off – and I mean, that's not polite, but she comes off dumpy.
Yeah. And the idea that, you know – Matt is pining after this dumpy looking woman when this is the same guy who got Karen Page and Elektra. It's like, okay.
And Black Widow.
It's like, really? You're going to go that far just because you decided to stop being Daredevil, then you're going to start going after dumpy-looking chicks?
But I don't think she's actually supposed to be.
I'm sorry?
I don't think she's supposed to be.
But the thing is, the other issues, she was drawn to look at least somewhat attractive. But in this, she doesn't have a chin.
He can't really see her.
That's true. Well, he sees the outline of her.
Maybe she smells really good.
Because the thing is, she doesn't have a chin, and her face looks kind of heavy, and it's like...
But I think it's the way she's drawn.
But the thing... If you're trying... Well, then she... But the thing is, in this issue, they start having sex, and she starts taking off clothes, and she looks kind of big.
Maybe Daredevil likes that, but he just went a little strange. That's all. Sometimes you...
More cushion for the pushing?
Big girls need love too, brother.
Well, not when they're married and married to mob bosses.
Yeah, that does seem like a mistake. Both because he's a Catholic and he's banging a married woman, and also because the guy's a criminal. Which is, like, this ain't going to work out well for her.
I mean, I understand it makes the sex hotter, but at the same time... Maybe that's why...
When he's going through this whole thing, when he's questioning the existence of God and stuff, it's like, you're just going to go all the way for it, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And he thought God was giving him a sign, hearing about this kid, and God was telling him to be Daredevil. God was also apparently telling him to go bang this broad.
I don't know if God would necessarily do that.
He never brings this up as one of his character flaws. Daredevil is
he seems everything. Completely oblivious to it. Like, he's always having the conflict of interest. He's like, oh, I'm beating down criminals to a bloody pulp. Oh, I feel so bad about it.
Does God want me to do this? But I bet when he's banging abroad, he's not like, oh, does God want me banging this Mary chick?
Oh, just banging anyone that's not his wife?
Yeah, well, he's not a very good Catholic.
And the defense, no, he's a Catholic.
Well, he is a good Catholic in that he constantly feels guilt for everything he's doing.
But then doesn't do anything about it and continues having sex with women who aren't his wife.
It's okay, because he'll go to confession the next day and it's all good.
I just want an issue where... Because Nightcrawler is also a Catholic, right?
Nightcrawler is like a priest.
I want an issue where just Nightcrawler just, for 26 pages, just rips into Matt. Just like, you say you're a Catholic, but I never see you at church. You say you're a Catholic.
No, he's always at church.
Oh, he doesn't go to the services. He goes for advice, which I guess is better than nothing.
He went to confession in the first or second issue.
Okay, but I had never seen him at the service.
And he's mostly going to talk to his mom, who is a nun.
And the mom never says anything about it either. So I will. See,
he doesn't bring it up.
But she's the mom. I guess she knows.
I didn't do that. Before I was married in my younger days, I wasn't going up to my mom and like, hey, mom, you should have seen this girl I tossed it in last night.
Yep.
I never did that.
Yeah, but he's Matt Murdock. He's up there with Doctor Strange and Tony Stark with just going through just girl after girl after. Eventually, word's going to get back to his mom.
Is his mom going to fuck? Like, somebody's. You think somebody's going to walk in the church and they're like, hey, you hear who Daredevil's banging this week? Like, they don't know.
No, because more than half of those are Matt Murdock. He's doing it as Matt Murdock.
Well, yeah, but it's not like everybody knows. It's not getting published in the newspapers or anything.
Okay, I understand why your average person on the street might not know this. But this is his mother.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But the defense for all of it is always Catholic.
Well, yeah, because he's allowed.
And for Catholic listeners, we're not ripping into you. I'm just saying this is the way a lot of Catholic. I know Alex is, but I'm saying this is sort of a thing in pop culture. You always have like the Irish mobster. He's killing people. He's having sex with
her. About it.
What's that? And then he feels bad about it.
He feels bad about it.
And he goes to confessional. So,
which is actually, if you look at that, that's actually the opposite of American culture. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, in American culture, we're all good with violence, but you can't show sex. So it's actually odd that they would question the violence. But, like, the sex, it's like, eh, whatever.
Well, to be fair, I, you know, They're both equally bad in the eyes of God, but one's the act of making love, and the other one's actively hurting people and ending their lives.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, what he was doing with Bookstore Chick, that was not making love. He slammed her up against the desk.
Well,
That is not lovemaking.
Well, at the end of the day, you know.
Well, okay.
He's not crippling her. Well, depending how hard.
Well, depending on how he goes at it, he is a superhero.
But still, a good book. I'm just making a nitpick because of the art. And the thing is, she's not supposed to be seen as a dumpy chick because at no point in the art do they ever address her looks.
Why would they, though? Again, he is a blind guy.
Yeah, but the thing is, well, he can still kind of see.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, if she's got a fat silhouette, he's going to be like, ah.
That's terrible.
Dead Man Logan, 10 of 12. Writer Ed Bryson, art by Mike Henderson. Can this book end already? This book had a really good finale where he went back to his own dimension, and now that they're doing this...
he has to die.
Yeah, but couldn't he just, like, die? Well, couldn't he, like, just go off into the sunset and we presume he dies?
I could quickly go over what happened in this issue. Okay, so in the last issue, the Sabretooth army attacked, and it is a army of Sabretooth clones, and this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So Logan said he killed Sabretooth, cut him into 150 pieces, and buried the pieces in separate places.
No, he burned them.
No, he said he buried them.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So he buried them in different places. Apparently, that means they all grew into Sabretooth.
I don't think that's what it means. I think they still just made a bunch of clones.
They refer to them as Sabretooth seeds.
That's just so stupid.
So, yeah, so they're them and Forge and all of them are fighting them. And they keep cutting back to Speedball, who, you know, has been locked in a room because he's got so much kinetic energy stored up. And the whole time they're like, oh, there's too many of them. There's too many of them. And I'm like, can we please just let Speedball out? And they don't. And eventually Forge is like, all right, we're not going to win. So him and his woman are basically going to sacrifice themselves so that Logan and the Luke Cage's daughter can get away because Sabretooth broke in and he stole young Bruce, little baby Hulk. They drugged him and they kidnapped him. So they're going to go after him. At this point, Forge tells all the other people there, like new Ant-Man and everyone, he tells them all, okay, you all have to go inside. He's basically got like a fallout shelter, like a sub-basement, and hide there. And he makes them all go in, and then he locks the doors for 24 hours. Okay, are you following me?
Yes.
Yeah, so at that point, it opens up. I don't know, bud. Son's having a huge problem. Jack, let me see the controller.
It wasn't enough that he cost you your internet.
Now he's really annoyed because he can't beat this thing in Mario Maker. It's okay, bud. I'll get through it.
I'm just saying he's still a child, but you think he has some shame.
Well, he hasn't done anything wrong. He just can't beat it.
Yeah, he just cost you your internet.
Well, yeah, it's okay. I still have internet. I'm doing the show, aren't I?
Yeah, through your phone.
Yeah, well, whatever. I completely lost. Oh, yeah, so Speedball finally gets out, and he jumps off a deal, and then all his power is released, and he kills everyone. Not Sabretooth, of course. Sabretooth got away. But all the baby Sabretooths he got.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going away, and they're trying to decide what to do, and that's where we're left. They're going to go save young Bruce from Sabretooth. And then, you know, the issue ends.
Okay. I know this is a monthly book, but it'd be great if this book was coming out in 2 weeks so we can not read it.
Hang on 1 second.
Okay, that's
Jack,
fine.
Jack, please stop yelling. So, yeah, we're almost done, dude.
So what, we're just going to tough it out and read the last two issues?
Yeah.
This series started off so good.
I think we had 1 week issue.
Okay. It's Mike Henderson, too, so he's a good writer, so. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, because it has been good, and this is 1 week issue, that's all.
Okay. Since we're talking about mutants, let's talk House of X, 2 of 6, writer Jonathan Hickman, art by Pepe Lazar.
Pepe.
Yeah, that's his name.
I know, it's just funny.
I know, that's my godfather's name. It's a funny name.
Pepe, really?
Yeah. It's a popular Mexican name, dude. Or Hispanic name.
Oh, hang on 1 sec.
Because I don't think Pepe Lazar is Mexican.
Okay, well, he might be. Or he could be French, like Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, that's true.
Is that offensive?
No.
I don't care, it's the French. That's all right, isn't it? We can.
Yeah. Of all the things you said before in the past, that's where you think is going too far. And also,
entire nationalities.
He's Spanish.
He's Spanish?
Yeah, he's Spanish.
Okay, well, Mexican, Spanish, they're your ancestors.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah, so it's all right. Okay, so this was the story of Moira MacTaggert, who is now a mutant, or was always a mutant. And she has the weirdest mutant power ever.
It's a cool mutant power, you ask me.
Yeah, so Moira's mutant power is she lives her whole life, and then whenever she dies, she's reincarnated as herself at the same moment of birth.
Mm-hmm.
But she retains all the knowledge and memories she had from her previous lives.
The part that's kind of screwed up is she remembers all this up to the point of conception. So even when she's a baby in her mom's womb, she's fully conscious of everything of what's going on.
Yes, which he actually dealt with somewhat, and it was kind of funny. But by the way, being in the womb with all that knowledge is still very comforting, according to her. So so she lives her whole life and dies an old woman. She got married. She had kids. Everything was fine. Hickman later breaks this down and shows all of her lives.
Yeah. Okay. You ripped on me for the last couple of issues for not reading the chart. So for once, I finally read the chart. Are you happy now?
And it added something.
It added a little. Not a lot.
Hickman, unfortunately, is doing this thing in these comics where instead of telling the whole story in the book itself, he for some reason finds it necessary to do these like full pages of text.
Well, he'll do charts.
This one had a chart, but it also had a couple pages of text.
Yeah.
Where like he goes more into what he's explaining, and it's like a little bit of a weakness there because, I mean, to be quite frank, if you're that good of a writer, you should be able to fit it.
Your homeboy Alan Moore.
What?
All those Watchmen books?
Oh, the extra things?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can skip every single one of those and still get the complete story.
Hey, guess what, Alex? I can read
except in the last issue, you didn't understand things that were explained in those pages.
Because I'm dumb.
It's not the same. No.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have explained them. I wouldn't have understood them if I didn't read the pages.
Well, how do you explain me not liking Morrison? Or following what's going on with Superman?
Well, you just weren't paying attention.
Okay.
That's not a sign of intelligence. That's just a sign of you paying attention.
I'm not like trying to feel sorry for myself. I'm just saying
I'm telling you, it's not that you're dumb. You just don't pay attention.
Yeah, which is a sign of stupidity.
No, it's not. It's a sign of not paying attention. That's all it means. It's often that very intelligent people don't pay attention.
You're kind to say that. And I'll remember that next time you call me stupid.
Well, when I call you stupid when you say something stupid.
I do that a lot.
But I'm defending you in this.
Well, I will say this. The one time I decided to read the chart, and yes, it adds to the story, but really you don't need to read it.
No, you don't. But
I do like in one of her lifetimes, she was going to meet up with Xavier, but she dies on the way. Because the plane,
yes, that would have scared.
the plane she takes to go see Xavier crashes.
But she learned next time. She went through some interesting points in her life, though. That was what I liked about the book. Is at one point she decided to go with Xavier or with Magneto, and then in another life she went with Apocalypse because that was the only thing she hadn't tried. So I kind of actually liked that, because what they were showing was, she was at least somewhat thoughtful, because she thought, well, I've done everything but this, so I might as well try this just because I haven't tried it yet. And they all worked out in different ways, and you know.
And I do like that they acknowledge that she is not immortal. There are not. She's not, you know, there are limits to her,
Well, they sort of did. She ran into Destiny at one point, who's a mutant who could read the future.
Well, I mean in the sense that, yeah, permitting that everything goes correctly, she can live forever. But the problem is, if she's killed before her mutant ability, where she comes of age to where that mutant gene kicks in, she will not respond.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. But so from what I could see, she is currently on the life that is most like the Moira MacTaggert we knew, except she's a mutant with this power. And she knows a lot more than we ever would have thought she knew, because if you look at the chart, this is the only timeline where, like, she had a kid and the kid turned into Proteus.
Yes.
Like, that was the one. So,
and I did like they explained the last issue of Powers of X.
They did?
Because remember, Xavier met up with a woman and she had...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she had her read her mind.
Yeah, so he knows what she can do.
Mm.
And she, in some of these worlds, she pointed out that, you know, and when she first met Charles Xavier, she thought he had a little bit of a god complex.
Which is not wrong.
And then in another life where, you know, she was fucking him, she decided he didn't have a god complex. But it's like, no, you're not wrong if you get to modern day. But no, it was an interesting story. But unless he's doing something with divergent timelines, which I assume he is, given the story he's telling, and it is X-Men, so we have to have outer space and time fuckery.
Hey, maybe you can answer me this question. I'm still not 100% sure how this X-Men run is working. He has these two books, but what happens when they both end?
He's going to write X-Men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so these end, and then he starts a run on X-Men. This is his lead in to his run on X-Men.
God, only Hickman would be like, I'm going to have these two limited series and that's going to lead to my X-Men run. Jeez.
No, he's not. They've done that before where they do like a series and it leads. Biggest example, because right now there's no Uncanny. There's no X-Men book. There's just these
books.
Can
I guess who was the last person that did this? Another writer that's known for wacky fuckadry just for no reason?
Who?
Was it Morrison?
No. Oh, Morrison really? Never did this.
Oh.
The last time Marvel did this would have been Age of Apocalypse.
Okay.
When they did Age of Apocalypse, they did all of it, and then, you know, most of the Marvel heroes disappeared, except Spider-Man, because he was the only one who's selling, and that led into Heroes Reborn. With Liefeld doing his hilarious Captain America and the terrible...
Oh.
When they got all the Image guys to come back and do shitty versions of the Marvel characters. That was the last time they did this, I think.
Okay. I almost didn't like this issue. It was all over the place. I was like, okay, maybe from any other person I would like this, but it's Hickman and I've come to expect certain things. But then towards the end, he ties it all in together and it makes it work. And it's like, okay, now I see why he felt the need to include this as part of his little introduction to X-Men.
And while I found it to be an interesting issue, I did question who gives a fuck. Like, at the end of it, I'm like, okay, so Moira MacTaggert knows all of these things that can happen because she changes what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's doing something else. But since she's doing something else, we don't know what's going to happen with it. So what the fuck was the point in showing us all this?
Yeah. Okay. And our final book this week, Savage Avengers number 4, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Mike Diodato.
Oh, you mean the best book ever, number 4? With the best team ever?
Again, I thought this book was really good, but when you always say it's the best book that comes out, I'm like, that's maybe a little too far.
I love this book so much.
I know you
do. So in this issue, Venom was a dragon.
Awesome.
And Conan wanted to fight him because he was a dragon.
Oh, and there was a little cute part where Conan's talking about Krom. And someone's like, who's Krom? And then Venom pipes up, well, he was a space knight at one point.
He questioned, wasn't he a space knight? No, Venom, that was Rom.
I know.
Jeez.
Well, you know, he's connected to Eddie, and Eddie's not the smartest bulb in the...
No, he's not. So they're all fighting, and Punisher, of course, shoots Kulan Goth in the back several times, which does not kill him because he's a very powerful sorcerer. Voodoo's got to do some stuff in this. He actually did magic and made himself useful. Goth kind of fucked with Punisher where he read his mind, and he's like, oh, look, I brought your family back. And by the way, this has been done before. There was a storyline once where somebody did this, and Punisher murdered his fake family in seconds because Punisher knows they're dead.
Yeah.
He's not going to be tricked by that. So that pissed me off a little bit, but it was fine. And, okay, so. Yeah, so, but they were skinwalkers. They were evil beings that'll sink their claws into you and kill you. So
yeah, that's a wife and kid for you. Oh,
Voodoo made him aware of this, so he was everything was fine. So we had that, and they're Kulan Goth summoned with the hand, the big monster thing that's going to eat the planet. And his plan, and they did actually show him, like, ripping a bus in half, and, like, the people are falling out, and he's eating them like potato chips.
Nice.
While Conan's trying to chop his head off,
because
it's Conan, he's a beast. He wouldn't give up. Venom wanted the part, the symbiote part, and he wouldn't give it to him. Venom was very concerned and gave us an early indication that Conan will not be maintaining the symbiote because he's like, oh, he's using up all his life force to heal you. So that was the sign that eventually that's going to go away. Punisher's all messed up after the second death of his family. So I didn't really understand this. Elektra puts her sunglasses or puts Brother Voodoo's sunglasses on him. Which made him better.
and cool.
'Cause she's like, we need him. So they're now going back to fight the big evil god thing. And Kulan Goth's plan is they feed this thing Earth, and then he's so happy with them that he lets him go on adventures in the cosmos with him. That is his plan.
It's not the best plan, but it's his.
But it's something. He did question how Conan got out of Samaria. He's like, what are you doing here?
So I got to ask you the same thing.
So it was another fun issue. This book is never going to be, like, serious.
Which, but, no offense, it's the Savage Avengers. I wouldn't expect it to be.
But it's funny.
It's the wacky, over-the-top team with Venom, Wolverine, Punisher, and Conan. The problem is you cannot take a book with Conan seriously. Unless it's a solo title.
Yeah, because then it all fits.
Yeah, but him in the Marvel Universe on an Avengers team.
It is odd.
It's wacky. Alright, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to next week's books, which we'll be reviewing in 2 weeks.
Yes. Second Coming, number 2.
Hey, we got the music bit.
Sorry.
How dare you talk over it? You suck!
Suck.
You suck!
Suck!
Alright, continue listening to your books.
Second Coming, number 2.
Okay.
Which is not a porno book.
It's about Jesus.
Yes, it is. It's the opposite of a porno book. Because Jesus is not sexy.
It's funny, Jesus is written kind of straight in that book, but God is 100% a goofball.
Yes, he's a dick. Okay, so I found Black Hammer Justice League Hammer of Justice, issue 2. Mm. So we are going to read issue 1 to see if it's any good.
Okay.
Hang on 1 second.
It's just as fine anyway. We have 2 weeks, so I can't really sit here and complain when we have 2 weeks to read all these books.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't have 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you suck. Also, you're the guy who always wants us to read more books, so I don't feel too sorry.
Event Leviathan, number 3.
Got it.
Flash 76.
Got that as well.
Okay, I don't want to read this, but there's a book called Titans Burning Rage. And when I saw the title, I'm like, is that about Alex Riley?
Say it to my face!
I see you never saw it. It was around in NXT when they tried to make him a wrestler again, and he would come out with the same song. But before that happened, they had like the Titantron graphic. There was like fire, and then it said rage, and then it was say it to my face. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm reading this story, and nothing about this really jumps out. Other than it's written by Dan Jurgens.
By who?
Dan Jurgens.
I do like Dan Jurgens.
And also, the thing is, it's not the Damian-led Teen Titans. This looks like it's Dick. Let's put this on the maybe pile.
Okay, put it on the maybe file. Sorry, you said it's Dick. there are two Conan books.
Well, there's the one that we always read.
There's a new one that I don't want to read. And then there's Conan the Barbarian Exodus number 1.
Who's it
which,
by?
I'm not sure if this is right. It says it's by the artist of the Conan book, but I'm not sure that's correct because it doesn't list an artist. So it might be by Aaron. Right. So I want to put this on the maybe pile. It's Conan's first journey from Samaria.
Okay.
So that's a maybe.
We currently have four, if we count Black Hammer, it's 5. But I guess we are reading Black Hammer, but we may not necessarily review it if it sucks. If it sucks, our review will be it sucks, and we're not going to go into it.
Yes. So Conan the Barbarian Exodus, Fantastic Four 13.
Which, by the way, I felt the need to drop Future Foundation because I got halfway through the book and I'm like, God, this is boring. I don't want to read this.
Okay. Are we reading Loki again? Did we like the first issue?
Is this a number 1? No, because you didn't like the first issue. I read it.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we're
one who said we don't need to read it. Because I read it.
And I can't remember. Powers of X, number 2.
Okay, Powers of X.
And the book I asked for, Punisher Kill Crew, number 1. What? A van full of orphans.
Oh, jeez.
And Punisher is going to travel the 10 realms murdering fantasy
creatures.
Okay,
that does sound amazing.
It's just like the book we read. Silver Surfer Black, the art book.
That's pretty much the entire, well, especially the first issue. The second issue actually had a lot significantly more story.
It did, but I still like the art. And Life and Death of Toyo Harada, 6 of 6.
Jesus, this thing will not die. For a book about life and death, it's going on forever.
Well, he's apparently going to die or come back to life.
All right, so, okay, let me count off how many books we have, and we can figure out which ones we want to put on the main list from the maybe. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 books. The two books that are on the maybe list are the Conan book and the Titans book.
Take the Titans book off.
Okay. And then we're going to keep the Conan book?
We're going to see who wrote it. And if somebody good wrote it, we'll read it. If somebody not good wrote it, we won't read it.
So we will be back in 2 weeks with these books as well as whatever comics that we decide to read in the week after.
Correct.
I'll try to keep everybody updated somehow. Maybe I'll make a funny post and then I'll add the list to Half Guarded.
Okay.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's show. So from all of us at HalfGuard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And like we mentioned earlier, see you in 2 weeks. Adios.